changed dramatically over the years. When I was growing up in the 1980s, watching live football was a novelty. Only the occasional game was broadcast on television, and in contrast to today, few column inches were devoted to football. This meant that the local newspapers, such as the Liverpool Echo and Daily Post, were my main source of information. 2 pages on a normal day, and a few extra on match and post-match days, and I devoured every bit of football news I could. Transfer gossip was very much in its infancy. Then came CFAX, a television text information service. And suddenly there were up to 10 pages of football information per day on TV. The traditional rush home after school to grab the remote control, read CFAX pages 302 to 312, and discover that Liverpool were linked to a particular player and how much he was going to cost, was a revelation. Coming home to the news that Roy Keane had signed for Manchester United was a particularly dark day. This was my generation's internet, the first baby steps into the digital era. By then, the World Cup was also very much front and centre. Discovering new players and their skills at major tournaments was an eye-opener and made me aware of a wider world of football featuring exotic players and leagues. By the time I was going to most Liverpool home games, the novel way of getting the best transfer gossip was through premium rate phone numbers. No doubt prompted by the small fortune these lines were costing, my dad became an early adopter and signed up to one of the first forms of the internet. Rather slow and making strange noises, the modem offered a constantly updated dose of football news and discussion forums. Football became all-encompassing. During family dinners, it was the glue of our conversation. Mum, and sometimes Dad, spoke the most sense. We debated tactics, managers, personalities, games, rivals, and history. Then I attended university and moved on to getting my daily fix from football news aggregator News Now. I even had the opportunity to write a dissertation on the changing FIFA transfer system and a journeyman footballer called Jean-Marc Bosman. More on him later. This was the first indication that I could combine my two passions, football and law. I soon found myself in an enviable position. Rather than just consuming football, which by now had become a major component of the global entertainment industry, I was able to offer my own perspective on football, blogging on issues, and in turn, amplifying my thoughts through a variety of retweets, internet searches, and Facebook and Instagram posts. Since becoming a lawyer, I've been privileged to have worked on a number of high-profile football takeovers, transfers, and disputes, meeting some fantastic people in the industry. The life of a football lawyer is, however, rarely glamorous. Deals may be finalised and photographed in the boardroom, but the nuts and bolts and the details are negotiated on WhatsApp, after mountains of emails, sometimes in the early hours of the morning, and after 40 calls to your client each day. I've had moments when I've helped a client negotiate a transfer while picking my kids up from school, or I've been on holiday and ended up working because the deal has been agreed in principle and the play was flying in the next morning. I've helped with deals on the beach, in the snow, on boats, and, losing signal, up mountains. Seldom are negotiations straightforward, as some may presume, but with email and smartphones readily available, there are rarely barriers to finalising a deal. Nonetheless, what continues to strike me is the somewhat fragile nature of the industry. Players are a bad knee twist or a tackle away from the end of their careers, or a tweet away from a ban. Managers are sometimes just a few games away from the sack. Agents are continually worried about losing their star players, sometimes having invested years of hard work for no reward. And owners, who may have saved their boyhood club from bankruptcy, are often castigated when results suffer. Promotion, relegation, last-minute winners, missed playoff final and World Cup penalties, injuries, rehabilitation, contract renegotiations, player transfer requests, and clubs forcing players out. These are the everyday actions that define the football industry. There is no black and white. What is important is context and nuance. Why a story has been written is as important as what the story says. Everyone has an angle, from the player's agent wanting to negotiate a new and more valuable contract, to the club wanting to